My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Joseph Sternberg, my good colleague. He's a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's based in London. He writes political economics. And momentarily, Joe will introduce us to the wild, wild world of Parliament. These days, there's not two parties, there's three or more. And there's not one personality, there's several. Joe does us the favor of featuring Kemi Badenoch, who is the leader of the Conservative Party called the Tories, elected after the bump of Johnson, followed by the bump of several more in between Johnson and now. But what we're looking at here is leadership for the future for the Conservative Party that is badly wounded at the polling the last time, and also after what Joseph reports is 13 or 14 years of misrule. Joe, a very good evening to you. What do we need to know about Ms. Badenoch and her remarks most recently at the conference the Tories held? Every year there's a tradition of the parties coming together. The Tories were together last weekend. What did we learn from her remarks? Good evening to you.
Hey, John. Well, I mean, the big picture story that's going on in Britain right now is a huge once every three or four generations political realignment that seems to be underway, because we're in the situation where the Conservative Party was in power for 14 years between 2010 2024. They got ousted in the general election in July last year. And since then, Britain has been governed by the Labour Party under Prime Minister Keir Starmer. But it was a weird election because that election produced a big number of seats for the Labour Party in Parliament, but very low vote totals for both Labour and the Conservatives, who had been the traditional two parties in the British political firmament. And instead, we have the rise of a third party, Reform, which is led by Nigel Farage, former Brexit campaigner, who's really vacuuming up votes, especially from working class voters, who are frustrated with the two main parties. And so I think that the real question has been, in this environment, can the Conservatives somehow manage to turn themselves around and turn the United Kingdom back into a relatively stable two-party system? And I think what we're discovering so far is that the answer is no. As you pointed out, British political parties do their conventions every year. I know American listeners can't think of anything that would be so awful. We feel it's an imposition to have to do ours every 4 years. But that's what they do over here. And so the convention season that just wrapped up had been billed as Kemi Badenoch's opportunity to present herself and present the Conservatives to the voters in a new way that might try to start rebuilding some energy and momentum behind the Tories. And she definitely came out with what's an interesting policy offer to voters, but I think that there is still a real question about whether anyone is listening anymore, because this is just happening against this backdrop that's familiar in so many places, where voters are just showing that they are tuning out mainstream political parties and politicians. And apparently Britain is no different than anywhere else in that regard.
The Tories are traditionally associated with grumpy old men who pull on their mustaches and must have their London Times ironed in the morning by their butlers before they'll read it. Has it changed, Joe?
Well, they have always had something of a split identity, especially going back to the 80s, because remember the Tories were the party of Margaret Thatcher. So their high water marks have often come when they seem to be getting a grip on the economy and demonstrating their capacity to deliver rising prosperity, especially against a backdrop of preceding periods of malaise. So, Thatcher came in after the winter of discontent in the late 70s and, spent the 1980s injecting new energy into the British economy. David Cameron came in 2010, promising to get the economy moving again after the financial crisis and the, sort of the doldrums of Gordon Brown's Labour government. So I think that there's been that element of the Conservative Party, but there's also been this big government, very paternalistic countryside wing to the party, which is much more of the old boys club and struggles to connect with working class or aspirational voters. And so I think that Kemi Badenoch is definitely trying to capture more of the Thatcherite economic growth energy of the party. And the working theory now seems to be that they have got to come up with some way of offering voters more prosperity and policies that will really shake the economy out of its malaise in order to have any hope of winning back a lot of the support that they have lost. But you still have this credibility problem of, are voters going to believe any of it?
What does she say of the welfare programs, a.k.a. the dole?
I thought that this was one of the more interesting things that the party is doing right now, because Britain has had the debate about the welfare state for a long time. I think one of the Labour government's big failures under Keir Starmer this summer is that they tried to reform welfare programs for disabled people and weren't able to do it. They ended up facing insurmountable opposition from the far left. So, against that, Kemi Badenoch is coming out and saying, well, the Tories are going to be the party of work. She had these lines in her speech to their party convention about how the Tories believe that work is a good in its own right. And they also are going to try to pitch welfare reform as a matter of fairness. It's unfair to expect voters to pay for benefits for people who could work but are not. So I think that the politics of that are really interesting, because the Conservatives have often run into a political problem where they start talking about welfare reform or just reform of the state in general in very dry, mathy terms of fiscal policy, and we have to balance the budget, so we have to cut benefits. Voters just find that very boring and also very unpersuasive. So I think that Conservatives always and everywhere have to come out with some way of making a more compelling, emotionally resonant argument for welfare reform, and Kemi Badenoch is attempting to do that. Now, it's not entirely clear that she has all of her party behind her, because there is a big government wing of the Conservatives that is very squeamish about any kind of argument about welfare reform or cutting benefits. But I think that she is intuiting that that would have to be the path forward for the Conservatives if they're going to have any hope of winning these arguments.
Ms. Badenoch is the daughter of Nigerian nationals who emigrated to Britain. She is clearly British-born, but at the same time, it occurs to me, from the American point of view, she would be an excellent person to make an argument for what is to be done about the migrants arriving across the English Channel. Does she have a program for that, an answer? Because the Conservatives do not.
I think that this is the big weakness. I mean, immigration, especially illegal immigration, people crossing the English Channel in small boats and then launching very costly and long-running spurious claims for asylum. It's enormously controversial. It's a big motivator of people deciding that they want to vote for Nigel Farage's Reform Party. The Conservatives, during 14 years in power, didn't really do anything effective about this problem. So they have an enormous credibility issue with voters on this right now. I think that the big Conservative weakness is that under Badenoch, the party leadership has now come out with a pretty strong series of policy pledges to get tough on illegal immigration. If they were to enact this stuff, it might even work. But I think that the difficulty is that they didn't do any of it during the 14 years they were in power. And in fact, they allowed illegal immigration to surge during that time. And a lot of it just sounds like me, you know, we can do that too, or, you know, us also, repetition of Nigel Farage's Reform Party migration policies. And voters just trust Farage and Reform more on this issue because it's something that he's been campaigning on for years. So, you know, this is an example of the Tory dilemma. Once you have squandered credibility on the economy or on immigration policy during such a long period when you've been in power, it takes an awful long time to rebuild that. And, you know, maybe under other circumstances, the Tories would have that time. They don't have that time if they are facing so much opposition from this new upstart party.
Liz Truss was rejected for reasons that you've been very clear about. However, I note that Liz Truss's rejection tells me that there are elements in the Tory party that are ready to turn out any prime minister who doesn't please them. Do they like being in the minority, the benchers? Are they happy where they are? They're members of parliament. They don't have to do anything.
I think that they would much rather be in power if they could, because who wouldn't? And I mean, remember, if you're a member of parliament for the party in power, there are something like 100 ministerial positions and sub-ministers and juniors and assistants that you get paid extra for. So they definitely want to win elections. But I think that they are really still in the dark about how to do that and how they need to overcome this legacy of mismanagement during 14 years, and also overcome the fact that when they did have a leader in Liz Truss who was promising economic reform, they threw her under the bus. And so now they're stuck with that legacy and having to explain why they think now they actually should be doing these aggressive economic reform programs when they, you know, ousted her by claiming that they shouldn't. It's a real pickle.
Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's in London. He writes political economics. We're going to turn to the tragedy of what's going on about the migrants crossing the English Channel from France. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.